Hi, this is Mohit.
And this is Shubhra.
And you are listening to the Ongoing Conversation. So, hi Shubhra.
Hi Mohit.
It's been so long, I have not seen you.
Okay, it's been a while since you recorded this podcast. Seen me every day.
Yeah, but it's the first time we are recording it in this house.
In this year?
In this decade?
No. Oh my god. Okay, let's get started.
Yeah.
So, we are going to start by trying to recall each other's New Year resolutions.
Yeah. So, I thought that the theme of, theme of the podcast should be something that is relevant to the time, which is beginning of the year. And I think whenever the year starts, all of us are trying to organize our lives and figure out things, get them in order, because the newness of it encourages us to, find time to do new things, which usually requires organization of of the things we're already involved in, mostly work and other responsibilities. So I thought first we should start talking about resolutions, because they are very optimistic, and also they are the very thing you need organization for.
Also, we made a list of them in a cafe right before New Year's and framed it.
Yeah, and I have that frame, and I'm going to ask you to see if you remember the, don't worry, I'm not going to see my part. I'm just going to ask you if you remember your resolutions and list them down.
Oh dear. Okay, so I wanted to read books this year, 20 books this year.
Yes.
Okay. I also made a list of shows that I wanted to watch, because I was watching reruns of a lot of, shows that I have already watched. So I think one was Wheel of Time, which I've already finished. Sopranos.
Yeah.
Succession.
Yeah.
I don't remember the rest.
There's only one more.
I don't know.
It's made by,
I can add one more. Lord of the Rings.
It's made by Sorkin. Is it out, Lord of the Rings?
No, it's coming.
Oh, damn. But yeah, it's made by Aaron Sorkin.
It's older.
I
don't remember. West Wing. Yes, West Wing. Okay, so those were the shows I wanted to watch. I also made a resolution about trying to figure out what it is I want to do career-wise, because I didn't have any resolutions related to my career this year. Something along the lines of that. Okay. Something about exercise. Oh, yeah. 250 days of exercising. Ashamed of that. I have not made any headway over there.
Yeah.
Those are all that I remember.
One more is there. You talked about it today with me.
French classes. I said I will join French classes.
You remember all of those?
Yeah.
Now let's do it for me.
Okay. I feel like you've cheated because you were holding the
frame. No, I promise I have not cheated.
Okay, fine. Go. You have a lot.
Yeah, I have 10, but they are very easy goals.
Okay.
So one is 30 LinkedIn posts.
Yeah.
Okay. One is I want to write about product management, and basically because writing forces me to structure my ideas, and about LinkedIn. Just clarification, because LinkedIn post by itself sounds very douchey. So second is, of course, I think 50 weeks of exercising.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, it's 30 weeks, right?
30 weeks. 5 days a week for 30 weeks.
But if I do 50 weeks, then I get a gift. Yeah. Then there is also obviously 30 weeks of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
There is also 30 books this year.
Mm-hmm.
Already done my first one. So, then there is 30 PRDs this year.
Yeah.
Damn, I've already written like 4 or 5. I'm on a roll. If Aditya is going to hear this, he's going to be very happy.
Okay.
Okay. Then we are already on 5, no? So there are 5 more. Come on. So therapy is done, health is done, you know, then save a certain amount of money in the bank. I remember the amount.
Yeah.
So that, spend less than 10,000 rupees a month for on food, on it's a Swiggy, etc. every month.
Yeah.
So that is one more.
Two more to go.
Then I think three more to go.
Oh, three more to go. Yeah.
Then guitar classes, 30 guitar classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then two more to go. What else would I like to do? I have done all. Like, this is such. Big list, yeah.
Okay, two more. One is, you should just be able to guess because we're doing it right now.
Oh, 30 podcast episodes?
Yes.
Yeah, one down, let's go. Okay, so then 30 books, podcasts. What else, man?
You give up? Give up.
Come on.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's related to money.
I did two money wala. Yeah. I did Swiggy. I did savings.
It's money and studying.
Coursera, crypto. Yes. Do courses on crypto. Oh my god.
So that's
is the only goal I have not started on at all. Like, it kind of makes me sad. But I
it's okay, it's only 1 month down.
I didn't even remember it. 1 month down, only 1 month down. Okay, so which brings us to the question that how are we tracking these goals in the first place? Like, how are we keeping ourselves honest? And one way we are doing it is we have framed these goals and we have put them in the living room and we live with other people as well. For everybody to see and sort of, you know, basically it's a public acknowledgement of that these are the things you're going to do. So there's some pressure to do them. But more importantly, in terms of tracking them day to day, what are you doing to track?
So I started by doing a couple of simple things. So I use a habit tracker.
Which one?
It's just called Habits, I think. It's an app store app. Yeah, it's simply called Habits. Let me just quickly check.
Their SEO must be amazing.
Yeah, it's called Habit.
Yeah, so
that's what it's called.
I have not seen that one.
Okay. Yeah, you use some other apps, I think.
I use Repeat.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. I started using it mainly because it, I downloaded a bunch of habit apps and many of them were paid apps. This had a free version and the free version had a widget, which is what I really wanted, right? Something that shows up on my home screen, and prompts me to kind of do those habits.
So what are the habits you are currently tracking?
So reading a book, which is something I want to do on a daily basis. Like, I know my goal says that I have to finish 20 books, but I don't think that, I'll accomplish that if I just read once in a while. I want to, maybe read a couple of pages or 10 minutes before sleeping. That's what I would ideally like to do. So that's one goal that I track on a daily basis. Exercise,
you track it every day.
I track it every day, but I don't do it every day. But
or
no,
at all.
Yeah, but no, I have not put, the goal that I have put for exercise as the habit is like 5 times a week or 4 times a week. So that app lets you do that as well. Like, it doesn't have to be a thing that you check off daily.
Yeah. That should be there, I think, in any habit tracker. It's kind So, nice. What are the other habits? Did you go through all the habits?
No. So, my other habits are not really habits that require a lot of tracking, right? It's reading and exercising I've covered. Another habit that I track is meditation. It's not really in my resolutions, but I would like to, do at least 10 minutes of meditation. I'd started doing it in 2021, then I stopped again, but it was helpful. You know, so I've put that in my habit tracker as well. But as for French classes and, you know, watching shows, I've not really put that.
Show watching, I don't think is a habit that needs to be tracked. I think for you, maybe it needs to be because you're back to watching Modern Family. And you have like, you are like the rerun queen. Like,
yeah. I think
Brooklyn
you know,
Nine-Nine, Modern, keep bouncing between, let's say, Young Sheldon, like.
Yeah.
So
Young Sheldon, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family. But so, yeah, sometimes I feel like because, you know, sometimes I feel like if I was getting cable and had shows that were coming out every week and if I didn't watch them, I would miss them. Then I would have a better chance at following this amazing resolution that I've had to put in.
Yeah. So, in my case, the habit tracker, like because we started talking about habit tracker, the one that I use is called Repeat.
Mm-hmm.
I earlier tried to use some other one that I don't remember, but this one is really nice. It's a single time payment, which I don't mind. It's like a very small amount, like less than 100 rupees, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it offers things that are really good. One, as you said, it offers non-sequential, like every habit can have its own frequency. On top of that, it also records your mood. Like it has a widget which lets you record your mood at various times in the day.
Hmm.
So you can basically go back and see how you were feeling, and it doesn't let you choose the options that will show up for the question. So it's fixed, it's very simple, and I think I like that idea, even though I engage with that feature not as much as I would like to. Then the other thing is, it lets you set neat icons for every habit, which looks pretty.
Yeah.
And also, it gives you a streak widget, which reminds you that you are on a streak of these many days without breaking. Which, one time I went to 21 days, and then I ended up going to 40 days just because it was like,
It was a streak.
Okay. And that momentum is real. Initially, you have to obviously invest in that idea of building a streak. But once it starts going, that gamification thing is really strong. So that is one thing. But apart from this, what I struggle with any habit tracker is that they exist in a silo. Like, I track almost everything else, from journaling to writing to everything else on Notion. And in Notion, I can build a checklist with any frequency. I can build a habit tracker in Notion. And it would be automated also. It would be fine. I've been toying with the idea of just moving my habit tracking to Notion. Because then I can write comments. I can be a bit more detailed. And
so why have you not done that yet?
Because I'm lazy.
Oh, okay.
So apart from like getting back to you, apart from habit tracking, what else do you do?
So in terms of, you know, organizing my life, because that's kind of the theme that we were toying with initially, right? You know, I have to keep track of a bunch of things at work, and I've experimented a lot with, you know, using my phone, the, you know, the basic reminders app that we have on the iPhone, to make a list of, you know, things that I need to get done through the day. But I've realized that that doesn't really work for me, because the reminders app doesn't show up on my laptop, because I don't work on a MacBook, so I can't really sync it, right? So that was not really helpful. What I've tried to do this...
Cross-platform reminder. Microsoft has a great to-do app.
I could try that. I've just started noting it down on, you know, Good Notes, basically. Because I take notes on my iPad whenever, you know, there's a meeting or, you know, something like that. So I've just started writing down things that I have to get done, you know, simply in a notebook on Good Notes, and I cross them out, and I feel like it's helpful for me to, you know, strike something out once it's done.
Yeah, I know a lot of people just stick to the good old pen and paper for tracking things, or you know, doing it in a digital handwritten notebook like you. But I always, as somebody who has ADHD, also struggle with remembering to write down and remembering to open the notebook to check what needs to be done, and also having the notebook on me at times. So like,
no, I totally get you. I am not very regular with this, you know. It's not like I have this date wise checklist that I have created every day. I think that the difference between me and you is that my work doesn't really involve so many tasks that I can't carry them in my head. So I feel like I carry a lot of the tasks in my head.
Yeah.
But it is becoming more and more complex day by day, I feel.
Yeah, I think that carry in your head is good till you screw up.
Yeah.
Like, I think having a written, or I'm also biased towards thinking that I'll carry it in my head.
Hmm.
Mostly because I'm lazy to type or write or record or maintain the record and update the record and delete the record once it's done.
Hmm.
One of the worst thing that happens with me, I create a to-do list, I do the tasks in them, I forget to cross off the tasks, I forget that I have done the task, and I get anxiety that there are so many undone tasks. This is a real thing that happens with me. Okay, I have done the same task twice sometimes. Don't tell it to anybody except the two people who listen to our podcast.
No, but you know, carrying on from that thread, that's one of the reasons I stopped using the reminders app, because I feel like I used to make very ambitious tasks for myself. Like, there would be like 10-15 things that I'll put on my reminders app, and they're not segregated by, you know, stuff that I have to do in the day for work and stuff that is household chores that sometimes get pushed indefinitely, and I'm just swiping left so that everything moves to tomorrow again and again and again. And I used to just get very annoyed.
I think in Apple Reminders also, but otherwise also, I think in any good reminders app, you can tag your tasks. So
yeah.
I think it's important to, I don't not like creating multiple lists because I think it hides your tasks.
Hmm.
You need a view to see everything. But I think adding date to it creates, especially if you have a list that has everything in it, creates undue pressure, because it does not add any visual weight to the task, right? So washing clothes would be a task that would have an equal visual weight to like writing a report for your job. So like, it would not make any sense. But tagging them allows you to filter. So then you can quickly see what are the work-related tasks you have. And I think... you remember you were trying out the Microsoft To Do app very in B school.
Yeah.
I think we tried. I think it's a good app. I think you have Windows on your work, but it works equally well on iPad and iOS. So maybe you should try using it.
Yeah, I could do that. Now that you've mentioned it, I think the Reminders app now has got that update where you can add hashtags to each of the tasks
What I was saying. Yeah. Also, you know that you can access reminders on the web, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, you can log into
your...
Feel
kind of dumb.
No, matlab, it's like not a very popular feature, but you can log into your iCloud account from any browser and then you can look at your reminders. At least, I think it used to be that way. It probably is still that way. I don't think it has changed. Why would it change?
Okay, I'll try that. I think one of the reasons, I've not used the Microsoft To Do app is because last year I kind of segregated my work laptop and disconnected all the apps of work from my phone. Yeah, because I was
Can you say last year? I thought 2020. And I was like, you're not working in 2020. So I'm still adjusting to 2022.
Yeah,
let's hope it's not like 2022.
Okay.
Did you get it?
No.
I'm still adjusting to being in 2022. Let's hope that it's not 2022.
Huh?
2022.
What does that mean?
It's not like 2022. Like,
oh,
we had one 2020.
Oh my god. Move on. Move on.
Yeah, just checked. So, it's there. You can go.
Okay, I got it.
So, you'll have to keep a tab open.
Hmm.
But I don't think it would matter that much. You can just keep it open.
You can just pin the tab or something like that.
Hmm.
Okay.
And it looks exactly the same.
I will try. Can you add reminders?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Add a new reminder. Let me see if you have all the features. I don't think you have all the features. Okay. So, yeah, that's...
We rambled on quite a bit about the reminders app.
Rambling is fun. One of my idols in podcasting is Lou Later.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lou Heisenberg, who is the host of Lou Later. And he, you know him.
Yeah.
He be rambling.
And searching samosas.
Anyway, coming back to it.
Oh, I'm really interested in knowing, you know, how you are tracking this spending less than 10,000 per month on outside food. Do you track that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's a depressing way. It's a depressing thing to track it.
Okay.
Okay. So, I track it by putting it on a Notion expense tracker that I have created. I tried different Notion templates, but none of them work for me. I tried to use Splitwise, but Splitwise doesn't let you create expenses that does not have anybody to split it with.
Okay.
It's not like just, you know,
an expense recording.
Which they should. Like, they should add that feature. Because it's like a, such a... It will just immediately work. Like, I don't know. Anyway, coming backward, I created my own template. Most of the columns are very standard columns. There is a tagging system for what the expense was about, when it happened, and you know, the amount, right? But also, I have added two more things. One is like how I felt about the expense. I record that, and I've realized I made a lot of food purchases that just didn't make me feel anything, like just bland expenses on eating out. And you must know that because we have a food subscription, when I'm eating out, it means that I'm choosing to eat something better than what is at home. And if it is still making me feel just average, then I should not be doing it. So that has helped me curtail it a little bit.
So you're doing this manually, like you put in...
There is no automated way of doing it. That's the problem, because if you consolidate everything to even one card, the card company's understanding of what your expenses are affect your tagging system a lot. Like, for example, they a lot of credit card companies tag all Amazon expenses to apparel. So we buy almost all household needs on Amazon. So like, I'm spending a bunch of money on apparel that I'm not getting. Or like Swiggy, because if it's through a wallet or something, they'll tag it as some other finance expense, like investment. So he is an investment. So
that would be so perfect for you.
Yeah, so I'm doing it manually. I'm recording my feelings, which has really helped me. Also, in my tagging, I'm making tags like if it could have been avoided, and if it was necessary, and if in future I should like try to do things to avoid, as a those kind of situations, if the situation was not good. Also, like, a few unexpected expenses happened that I really was happy spending on. So that also made me realize ki if I don't spend on all these average...
Like what?
Like, I bought my own domain name and started my blog, which I wasn't planning on doing, but I have really liked it. So just owning my own domain makes me very happy. mohitchandel.com, plugging it in. Okay.
So I think you've mentioned Notion a couple of times. So why have you gravitated towards Notion as opposed to, I'm sure, you know, I know you don't like, Microsoft Office offerings, but why Notion over, you know, I'm sure other note taking or organizational apps?
As such, I didn't have any affinity towards Notion early on, but my last job in Notion was the knowledge sharing system everybody used, so I was stuck using, like, I had to invest in learning how to use it. And it is so powerful that once I learned how to use it, like, look at how many use cases I'm tapping into to organize my life around, you know, in Notion. I'm obviously, there's an expense tracker. I've told you I can build a habit tracker. My entire website is basically a Notion document hosted on a server, right? Taking away all the design input that I want to put, taking away a lot. Like, when I want to write something, I write a Notion document and that's it. Like, I don't even have to click publish. Okay, so that is way easier. Then I'm also, right. So the two things I think that stand about Notion is, one, it's nested architecture where you can create a page within a page within a page within a page. What that does is, and every field in a table is a page. So what that does is it gives you the flexibility to decide ki I want to add some context. As you know, both of us like to talk a lot, think, are as overthinkers. We want to add context to, like me, like especially, you know me, I'm like a big context guy. I work in the world's second biggest contextual advertising company. I want to add context to my things. Like when I'm making expenses, I want to write a paragraph. Not all the time, but sometimes I want that flexibility. It's very flexible and it really helps me organize things. And it is like flexible to a point. Like it makes, doesn't let me choose a lot of visual things. Word overwhelms me. First of all, Word is not Notion. Like I think Excel would be more Notion, but both of them overwhelm me, Excel and Word, because they add so many visual elements that
can like formatting elements. Yeah,
that I don't need it, and I don't want to spend time on that. I want to spend time on writing and recording stuff. So that's why it works for me. It has only 3 font options.
Okay.
And okay. Only one of them is right.
Only one of them is right.
Yes.
Okay. Scary, but okay, got it. So is there any other organizational tool that we want to discuss?
Apart from these two things,
what about your calendar? Do you
Google Calendar is where I live.
Is where you live?
Like my job, you have seen my calendar. It's like 11 se leke 5 p.m. 6 p.m. tak. I have no, the only time I have free time is when I skip calls. But not like, you know, nobody tell my boss. But also, yeah, like calendar is really, Google Calendar is decent. Yeah, it's just a calendar. It integrates with Google Meet, so whenever you're creating a meeting, you can just one click add a meeting link. Where you can just click on the meeting to open the meeting link, like a video call. And the other thing, yeah, that's all. There's nothing great about it. It's fast. Outlook, I don't find it fast. You use Outlook. What's your opinion about Outlook?
I mean, I don't have an option in using Outlook or anything.
Actually,
else.
I could set up Google with an Outlook, but no.
Yeah, I think Outlook is fine. A lot of the things that you just mentioned, my organization, you know, has added a lot of plugins to, you know, facilitate that. Like, you know, every time I click, you know, schedule a meeting, it automatically adds a Zoom link. I don't have to really, you know, do much over there. So, yeah, I think, you know, given all of these add-ons, I think Outlook would be fine. But, yeah, it does take, you know, I think it's clunky. Much prefer the interface of like a Gmail,
Google.
Yeah,
I think all our generation grew up around Gmail also. We are very familiar with it.
Plus, though, also, I think Outlook is used in a lot of offices, right? Like even in my previous organization, it was Outlook.
I just think there are a lot of old people in the world. So yeah, I think it's a legacy thing. I just do not understand why offices use email and Outlook specifically at this point. Like, why is not all communication on Slack? And why is not
I mean, we have Slack and nobody wants to use it.
Yeah, you're old people, man. I'm telling you, like, Slack is amazing. Like, so there are some basic things. Like, I'm not even saying it has to be a peer-to-peer messenger. Editing something you have sent, why is that not a thing? Like, Like, why can't I just edit a typo? Like, what is going on over there? Like, it's 2022. Okay. Then deleting something I've sent accidentally. Why is that not a thing? Like,
yeah, I think in my organization it would be easier for people to move to Slack if, you know, all of us could have it on our phones. I think everybody gravitates towards, you know, other messengers.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have them.
Which is such a subpar experience. Because first of all, if it is not an official messenger, everybody's working off WhatsApp. Then there's no official record of a lot of things that is happening. It's difficult for new people to follow up. There are no previous history they can go and read up. Secondly, less transparency again because of, you know, it being off an official platform. And then more importantly, it does not have all the features for all business use cases, which are more focused, business-specific chat messenger would. And, you know, unless you are talking to external facing features, people, external, you know, like you are talking to them, email makes sense. And I think only then email makes sense. Like, I don't think right now anybody should be using email. Like,
okay, we've veered off to a tangent there.
But it is important. No, so much of our life revolves around these messengers. Like, when I was using Slack, I used to, my organization uses Flock, which is like a Slack competitor, similar. But when I was using Slack, Slack integrates with more services than Flock. It was much easier for me to jump into Zoom calls. My life was easy to organize around because I could add messages that I got in Slack to my Google Calendar. So I knew when somebody, like what happens with me right now, people tell me to schedule a call and then I can forget about it because I have to go to a different app, and if I'm typing something, doing something, I don't want to context switch right now. And I forget. So yeah, it's a powerful organizational tool, and I don't know what are we doing using email in 2022.
Got it. Everybody switch to Slack immediately.
In that way, 2022 is like 2022.
You heard it here first. Oh my God. Okay, you have to retire that joke.
So, I think what we have realized is to organize our life, we basically have four main tools. One is a basic habit tracker. The other is a way to write down and record our day-to-day tasks, which can be a to-do list app or like something like a good notes or a physical notebook where you're writing down tasks. Then obviously our calendar and...
Hey, you forgot to mention that. You know, you can use other note-taking apps like digital.
I was about to say, these are just buckets.
Okay.
So I was saying there are four buckets. For you, for example, the first is habit tracker, which we both have different of. Yours is habit, mine is repeat. One is a note-taking system where we record our, say, long-form tasks, mostly related to work, but also other things we want to do. Yours is good notes and mine is Notion.
Yep.
One is email and calendar, which is Outlook, and I'm guessing Outlook mail for you, and then it's Gmail and Google Calendar for me. And basically these are the four pillars we are using to organize our lives. Nothing groundbreaking over here. Maybe, you know, as a continuation to this very short episode, we should talk about more of these tools in detail. Like, what you are using is a primarily handwritten tool, which is not first a recording tool. It's a first note-taking tool that you are. So that is interesting. Actually, I don't think there's a much distinction over there, but still, it's a handwritten tool. Benefits of that, flexibility offered, etc. How do you use it? Why have you chosen it? Versus Notion, which is more structured and limits you. I think it's also, you know, our neuroses play into why we are using these tools, I think. You want more control, I want more structure. Somebody to put the blinders on me. So, yeah, but we should definitely follow this up with a... you know, with something like that. Other than that, there is not much to it. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.